their various languages, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here's that passage in English. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place and in one heart. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. I found this week that the typical message of Pentecost was kind of old news to my Bible studies. What is the typical message of Pentecost? The message that is typical that I've taught and preached and that I hear in the story of Pentecost is the message that God is with us. In the Old Testament, God showed up to a people who wondered if God was with them. In Egypt, in a time of hardship and suffering, in a time of terrible slavery under Pharaoh, God's people had called out to God to see them and to remember them and to take notice of their struggles and to respond. And God, in grace, did respond. God showed up. God showed up in fire. God showed up in the burning bush, calling out to Moses and commissioning him to be a leader for God's people, to draw them out of slavery and to move them towards the promised land. Moses went to Pharaoh, and eventually God's people were released from their slavery, and God showed up again for God's people in the appearance of fire. God showed up in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud to be for the people a guide and a leading presence as they moved through the wilderness again towards the promised land. On their way to the promised land, God descended to be near God's people. God came as a raging, noisy, fiery storm at the top of Mount Sinai. And so in three fiery appearances, the burning bush, the pillar of fire, and that fiery storm, God shows up to God's people. God shows up to let them know, I am your God and you are my people. God shows up to let them know, I am with you always. In the time just before Jesus showed up in this world, God's people again were wondering if God was still with them. Is God with us? They pondered in fear and in doubt. At that time, just before Jesus' arrival in this world, God's people wondered if God had perhaps given up on them because of their sinfulness and their abandonment of God. They were not in slavery under Pharaoh, but they were held captive under another earthly tyrant, this time Caesar and the Roman Empire. God did not seem very close at hand. There was no divine fire, no divine light in the world to give them comfort or direction. And Jesus was the answer to their ponderous fear. Jesus came as light for those who were living in darkness. He came as the light of the world, and he came to let us know that God was not far off. God had come to dwell with God's beloved creation. Jesus came and he lived here in this world. He died, he rose again. And when Jesus departed this world, when he ascended into heaven, he promised his friends that God would not leave us orphaned or abandoned. As Jesus promised on Pentecost, God came to dwell and to be with God's people in a new and a surprising way. God showed up again in fire. This time not the burning bush, this time not the fire of a pillar of fire, nor a raging storm at the top of a mountain. Instead, God's fire came as tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit resting over and residing within each of Jesus' friends. And so the typical message of Pentecost is that we are not alone, nor are we abandoned. God is not far off. In grace, in love, God, the Holy Spirit, has come to dwell in our hearts. God's fire still burns near and with us, as close as it could possibly be. Now, this is good and a powerful message. But this week, as I taught this message at my Bible studies, I found that most people received it with just a kind of shrug. Yeah, all right. It didn't make a big splash at our Tuesday morning Bible study. This message didn't make any waves at my Wednesday Bible study at Stonebridge. I was left wondering, what's going on? On Friday, I taught this message to a friend over the phone. For a while now, I've been teaching a Bible study with a friend who asked me for some guidance in how to read the Bible. Something's been going on in his heart, and he wanted to know more. He wanted to dig deeper into his faith. He's a local stay-at-home dad, and so once a week while his son is taking a nap. Mark, we're getting some feedback in the sanctuary. Could you turn me down just a little bit? He's a local stay-at-home dad, so once a week while his son is napping, we read the Bible together and we discuss it over the phone. And we've had some great conversations, and I've been able, with God's help, to open his mind and show him some deeper and richer meanings within Scripture. It's been fun for both of us. So this week, I presented my friend with the typical message of Pentecost. I talked about the burning bush and the pillar of fire and how God's holy fire, God's Holy Spirit, has come to live in our hearts. I finished teaching this typical message of Pentecost, and my friend was really bluntly honest with his response. I gave the message, and he said, "Oh, okay, cool. You know, that one really doesn't resonate with me too much." It was such an honest response, and I was taken a little off guard. But I rebounded quickly, and I asked him, "Why? Why don't you think that message resonated with you?" I was really curious, and I realized that perhaps he could help me understand why my other Bible studies seemed less than wowed by the same message of Pentecost that I had taught them earlier in the week. So I asked him, "Why? Why don't you think that one resonated with you?" And as I was asking, a reason popped into my own mind. I said, "Do you think it's because you've grown up in this Christian culture that has already taught you this message? This message of Pentecost, that God lives in our hearts, that God is with us always, do you feel like you've already heard that message and you already believe it?" And he said, "Yeah, that's probably it." My friends, God is with us always. God is not far off. And the good news is that this message is sort of a bland message to us, because we, the church, with God's help, we've actually done a pretty good job of getting this message across to one another. We know. We believe. You and I believe, hopefully, like my Friday Bible study friend. You already know and believe that God is near you. God loves you. God is with you. God has come to reside in your spiritual heart, and God has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. At this point, that message is clear to us. But here's the thing. God's word, the gospel message, is supposed to be surprising and challenging. The person who lit the fuse of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, once said that if you don't leave church scandalized by the sermon, then the pastor really didn't preach the gospel. What do you think about that? If you don't leave church scandalized by the sermon, then the preacher didn't really preach the gospel. So this week, the Spirit has been working within me, wondering and pondering, how is the story of Pentecost scandalous to us? What is the message that God has for us in this story, which catches us off guard and makes us take a step back and try and catch our breath? What is the message of Pentecost that is surprising and leaves us moved and a little shaken and uncomfortable? Well, this week I've heard God reminding us of the very high calling that comes with believing that God's fiery spirit has come to dwell in us, in our hearts. God was present on earth. God came to be present on earth in a burning bush, calling out to Moses, in a pillar of fire, leading and protecting God's people, in that fiery storm on Mount Sinai. God was present on earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to dwell with us and teach us about the Father. And now we believe that God is present on earth here. Us, in our hearts, your spiritual heart is the temple, the tabernacle, the burning bush, the pillar of fire, the Mount Sinai storm, where God has chosen to dwell in order to be here on earth and reveal God's self to God's world. You are the place where God has chosen to dwell here in and for the world. It's us. We are it. We are the place. We are the place where God dwells on earth. Not this building. Not this chancel or this pulpit, not any earthly sanctuary or temple built with hands. The place of God's dwelling on earth is us. We, moving through this world as we do, living with our family and friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, we are the tabernacles of God's presence. We are burning bushes of God's presence, mobile and able to share God's love. The place of God's dwelling on earth and for earth is us. Jesus came, and in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And he is. Jesus is the light of the world. But in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus also says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." And that is true as well. My friends, God is present in and for this world. And God has chosen to be present in and for this world here, in us, in our hearts. We take comfort in knowing that God is with us and God is for us. God resides in our hearts, and that God will be with us always. But the scandal of the gospel is that we have a calling to share the light and the fire of God with others. We are the place. We are the place where God desires for others to turn in order to find and to know and to learn about God's love and grace and peace. We are the place where people can and should look to find light in their times of darkness. You are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. So let us not hide our light under a bushel basket, but with God's help, let us share it with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.